I wish people were able to travel to France more than we are, because it's such a different place. It's so different from home. It's, you know, it's like you go across the channel and it is completely different.
Von Meilen und Zeilen. Abenteuer direkt aufs Ohr. Der Podcast des Delius Glasing Verlags mit Tim Kruse.
Martin Dory hat eine extrem erfolgreiche Buchreihe rausgebracht. Take the Slow Road. Er hat grandiose Bücher über das langsame Reisen aus Schottland, England oder Frankreich und weitere Länder geschrieben und Hunderttausende davon verkauft. Jetzt gibt's Take a Slow Road auch auf Deutsch, natürlich bei Delius Glasing. Mit Martin spreche ich unter anderem über das meistbesuchte Land unseres Planeten, Frankreich. Wer hätte das gedacht? Und da Frankreich das flächenmäßig größte Land Europas ist, merkt man gar nicht, dass jedes Jahr 80 Millionen Touris über die Gallia herfallen. Also quasi jeder Deutsche jedes Jahr. Da Martin Engländer ist, gibt's jetzt hier den ersten Meilen und Zeilen Podcast auf Englisch. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to speak to you, Tim.
Why would an Englishman guide me through France?
It's a good question. Because I know France quite well. I've got quite a lot of history with France. But because I guide people through other countries as well, and I guess it's the way that I do it that's interesting, I hope.
It's super interesting. And you told me that you were so successful with your books in the UK and in other English-speaking countries, I guess. And your book only about Scotland sold 80,000 copies. That's amazing. How do you do that?
I don't know. I think I'm lucky.
And good.
I'm doing it at the right time. And, you know, I've been writing books about traveling by motorhome and campervan for about 10 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. And actually, I guess now, in the last, what, 2 or 3 years, everybody's discovering motorhomes and campervans. Yeah. Because of COVID or because of travel and not wanting to fly or, you know, wanting to see our own continent, that actually exactly. Now's the time to be somebody who's known in this industry. Mm-hmm. and writing books about this stuff. So maybe it's to do with that. Maybe it's just to do with I'm at the right place at the right time. I know that certainly in the UK in 2020, when COVID was hitting and when we had the removal of restrictions, the only places you could go were campsites, but you had to have your own toilet and shower.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, so you would go in a motorhome, right? So it was the only way that anybody could travel, you know, and people are discovering the UK. I actually wrote the book about France in 2020, and we saw no English people at all in France. But plenty of French people, Germans, Dutch, you know, Belgians traveling around, safe, you know, in their motorhome.
You know, I've been traveling with my camper, it's a very, very old Fiat, through Europe for 13 years now. And the camper world has changed so much. You know, 13 years ago, I could stand wherever I wanted, you know, at any beach, by the sea. No restrictions whatsoever. And now you have these barriers of 2 meters everywhere. You have policemen everywhere sending us away. So this whole scene has changed. Do you still enjoy it, though?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. You'll notice from reading the books that I don't write about places where you can do that. Mm-hmm. Because things have changed. You're absolutely right. And it's a real shame because it's like there's too many of us enjoying something, so we've got to got to enjoy it responsibly. And I love it. I mean, I still love it. I'm going to be spending about 6 months in the van this year in Spain and Portugal, and it still makes me just excited to go, you know, to think I don't have to worry about, you know, the house, the bills, the mortgage. I can pretend that real life doesn't exist. And you know, I can go and I can't go where I like, obviously, because said. You know, there are problems with too many of us and there are problems with people not liking motorhomes. But also the infrastructure is getting better. So Spain, I last went to Spain probably about 5 years ago. And there are so many more heirs to camping car in Spain than there were 5 years ago. So it's actually easier. And, you know, you can use apps to find them. So it's actually easier these days. But the free camping stuff, yeah, it's a little bit difficult.
It's kind of over.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Would you say that France is your favorite country in Europe?
It's the country I've visited most. So, I mean, I absolutely adore France. It's such a great country. It's got so much space and so much variation. But, you know, I haven't spent a huge amount of time in Germany. I haven't spent a huge amount of time. I've been to Norway, loved that. I'm really, really enjoying Spain. So, you know, it's just because I know it, I think, as much as anything.
There's so many jokes between the Brits and the French, you know. They kind of, it's like a love-hate relationship. There's a, like a joke saying, what's best between England and France? And the answer is the Channel. How do you get along with them? You know, you must speak French.
I do speak French.
If you travel the country, you have to speak French because many people, especially in the countryside, the older ones, they don't speak English.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do speak French. I've worked in France a lot. And I've spent a lot of time in France. My parents sent me to Paris when I was like 10 to go and stay with a family. And although I hated it, I learned a lot of French very quickly. I like the French. I think they're funny, you know, and they're charming and they have, you know, they're very Northern European as opposed to like the Spanish who are a bit more relaxed, should we say.
Yeah,
it's always good. I really enjoy getting cross on the road sometimes. You know, that whole thing about waving your arms in the air because people have cut you up or you know. But that's just part of life, isn't it? And you have you play the game. And French food is amazing. French wine is amazing. The countryside, you know, the Alps, the Jura, you know, my God, you know, Alsace. Beautiful. It's just spectacular. And, you know, I find it really amusing that in England we have these kind of, you know, we have this mountain, which is 1,000 meters, you know. And then you go up like France's, you know, 150th highest pass, and it's 2,000 meters, you know, and it's kind of like, this is twice as high as the highest mountain in Britain. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So it's such a big difference.
It's amazing.
Plus, you have the Pyrenees, you know, you have the Alps, you have like so many other little hills. And I love France too. And I must say, my grandparents, they came from the Saarland, which is one of these three little countries that, depending on which war was on, they were either French or German. But they spoke German, you know, so they never knew what they were. They were... In the end, they said, we're from the Saarland, which now is Germany, but used to be French, but used to be an own country too.
So it's a bit like Alsace then. In that
Exactly. So we spent every vacation in France. It's so good to read your guide because I thought, I know France. You know, I've traveled all over. And then I read your guide and think, oh my God, there's so many more things to see. And I can't wait because we're leaving next week with the camper to go to the Atlantic, to go to Biarritz. And I'm going to take your guide and just check up all these spots that are in your book. And I totally loved your book because it opened my eyes again for even more beauty. Where did you find all these places? You must have spent so much time in France.
Yeah, I did. I mean, what was really interesting about writing the book, and it's really interesting you should talk about Biarritz, because I spent many years going every year to surf down in Osgore.
Yeah, me too.
So I know that coast really well. But actually, when I was writing the book, normally as a surfer, I would go, right, we're going to the surf. So we go and see a limited slice of the country.
Exactly.
And then actually, when I was writing the book, I went to see France, kind of, some of it I'd been to, but a lot of France that I hadn't been to. And that was, it was just absolutely wonderful. You know, I'd been to the Alps, but I'd never been to the Jura. And the Jura was just unbelievable, you know, absolutely beautiful. Some swimming in the Jura was amazing. And then just going to sort of, you know, the Presqu'Isles of the West Coast, and then actually looking at the Western Front as well, and going into, I'm trying to think which area it is, the end of the Western Front near Strasbourg, was amazing as well. All these places were new to me as well. Mm-hmm. And it just made it better and better and better, you know, because I love the West Coast and the Atlantic Coast, but it is just basically one great big beach from Bordeaux down to Biarritz.
I'm going to stand up paddle the Loire in August.
Oh, wow, okay, that'd be great.
Yeah, with a French friend. And this is going to open a totally new chapter to me because I haven't been on the Loire at all and I haven't been around there. So this country, it never ends.
Yeah, so you're gonna have yeah, such yeah, a great yeah. time on the Loire. You come around a bend and there's a castle, like a massive castle.
I know. Every other bend is a castle.
You've got to get out and have a look at them. There's some really great campsites actually. There's one, I think it's at Chambord, where there's a really great campsite right on the river. It's in the book, so check it out. But yeah,
I saw a couple of pictures and I thought, wow, yeah, this is it. I can't believe this book is crossing my job right now.
Right.
Before I go on this trip, I think, wow, perfect. How did the English perceive your book? Like, do you get feedback? How does that work in England when you publish a book like
that? Yeah, sure. I mean, the feedback that I get is from social media, I suppose, but also, you know, from reviews, and the reviews have been really nice. The French book, because England, you know, is a special place at the moment. It's struggling, and you know, we are all feeling really, I don't know, I hate what's happening to my country at the moment, and we aren't traveling, and so actually the Take the Slow Road France hasn't sold as well as it could, even though it is starting to this year. But the Take the Slow Road England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland are doing really, really well. You know, they're really successful. So people are really nice about them. You know, people are discovering parts of their own country. Like you said you've visited France a lot, but you find other things. And I think that's what people like about it, is that it takes them to a place that they've not seen before, and you can enjoy it for different reasons. And I wish people were able to travel to France more than we are, because it's such a different place. It's so different from home. It's, you know, it's like you go across the channel and it is completely different.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Just this little strip of water.
Yeah. And it's you have to have a joy for travel to enjoy it. And sometimes at the moment, unfortunately in England with Brexit, you know, we've lost that, and it's a real shame.
I know. You wrote the book, and like this whole series of books is called Take the Slow Road. And I think this is the new thing about it. You know, in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, people traveled a lot quicker than now. And now we're coming like back to the roots and traveling really slow. And in a camper, you're slow. Like my camper goes 90 kilometers per hour. And this is like slow traveling. Did you find out about slow traveling yourself, or how did you get there to this? It's like a philosophy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I owned a Volkswagen Type 2.
oh, the T2.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
Oh, right.
So it was always about taking time and traveling slowly and enjoying the place. And then I wrote a magazine article about traveling up the west coast of Wales. And it was about just kind of stopping and mucking about and going crabbing or going fishing or swimming, or, you know, and that gave me the idea for the idea for writing books about just enjoying journeys and not hurrying. So I guess it fits into that slow travel thing really nicely. But also, you know, at the time, I don't think we should be flying anymore. True. And so I've stopped flying. The last time I flew was, I think, 2017. So, but then, you know, we're still coming against this problem now that we are many vans, and many vans are using up fossil fuels. So actually the answer is to stop a little bit, you know, go to a campsite and stay there for 2 days, or like you're doing, travel by SUP.
I mean, that's the best, but still, you know, I have to get to the Loire somehow.
Yeah, so take the van, sleep in the van, leave the van, and go off and explore in another way. And that's what the van is. That's why the van is so brilliant, because you can just kind of like drive to the bottom of Portugal, leave it, go surfing, go cycling, go running, you know, go exploring, and then the van doesn't have to move. And that's what's really great about it. So
true. On the other hand, my van swallows 13 liters of diesel on 100 kilometers. So that's disgusting too. And it's not filtered, you know, it's from 86. Driving to Portugal is probably even worse than flying. So I'm not going to drive to Portugal. I'm just going to drive to France and this year, Spain, the North Coast. And still, you know, I think we all have to change the way we live. We have to probably one day say, okay, we must be more happy in the country we live in, or move into the country we want to live.
Yeah, that's all right for you in Europe. We can't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I agree. I mean, you know, localism is something that's really important. You know, I mean, maybe we can work at home and only drive for trips, you know, and not have to drive for work or not have to fly for work. Or, and, you know, we can buy our food and get our clothes and do all that kind of stuff locally. And you're right. We do have to live more locally, which is, it's fine. If, you know, I would like to go and live in Spain, probably.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, particularly the North Coast, actually.
Or Portugal.
Yeah, but it's you know, it's where your family is and where your friends are. I think it's funny, actually, being in Spain, they seem to have a, you know, talking about generalization, they seem to have, you know, the way their lives are structured, they actually live near work and they or they work where near where they live, and actually it seems to be a lot more local. And maybe we need to think a bit more about that, as you know, that it's not okay to commute 100 miles, you know, every day.
I think the Spanish, the Portuguese and the Italians, they have a different work ethic than we do. You know, for us, in our culture, work is like a religion, you know, like it's the most important thing, just like religion was a couple of hundred years ago. And I think for them, life is the most important thing. So that's why they live a different life from us. That's my idea of why it works so different in Spain, for example.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, and they've got it right, haven't they? Because I'm not going to get to the end of my life and go, God, I wish I worked more.
Exactly. It's, I wish I would have been more in Spain.
Yeah, exactly. But, but you know, that's why I do what I do. I like to, I'm really lucky that I can have an alternative existence, you know, can write books and inspire people to live a different life and hopefully live more peacefully, you know, without all the rubbish that goes with it.
I know exactly what you mean, and I live the same life.
Yeah, good.
And in your book, you write you drove for 16,000 kilometers through France. You made up for it by a project that you support about reforestation.
Yeah, now I'm not sure whether I supported the project in France, but I support a project in Ireland, which is run by a guy. Have you heard of Mickey Smith, photographer and surfer on the west coast of Ireland? And they set up a farm and they were growing organically and feeding the community and doing all this kind of stuff. Really great stuff. And what they've started doing now is planting trees. And Ireland is one of the countries with the fewest or the little amount of tree cover. So I support them, and for every time I do a book, I give them a donation to pay for them to plant some more trees. It's not really compensation, but it makes me feel better. And hopefully it'll inspire more people to do the same sort of thing.
We're in this trap of wanting to live a good life, and on the other hand, trying not to destroy the planet. And it's so hard. Like, life has become so difficult.
Yeah, it has. It's become very complicated. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of points there. I mean, I used to run a charity in my sort of spare time, not that I had much, which is about picking up litter at the beach.
Good.
And that's still going. So those are the kind of things that I've done to kind of, I don't know, make myself feel better. And then I fill my books with, you know, pick up litter, leave it tidy, you know.
Yeah, I read that.
Don't be a bad camper, you know. So
yeah, exactly.
I guess we have to sort of all sort of shift in some ways towards this.
I think there's a shift coming in society now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I went to a primary school to talk about plastic rubbish this week. And the kids who are like 6 or 7, they had all the answers. And they were amazing. You know, and they're the ones that are clearing up. So actually, I was really inspired by that. I felt really kind of emotional about it because they were doing everything, you know, and they were talking about microplastics and talking about litter on the beach and how turtles like eating jellyfish, but they look like balloon, or balloons look like jellyfish. This kind of stuff that they've taken on board, and they've, you know, it's amazing. So
yeah, and this generation has to clean up our shit.
Yeah, that's, you're right. The thing. You're right. Yeah, and hopefully we'll give them the tools to be able to do it, because it might be a bit late for us, or we lead by example and we do it ourselves.
And we change really quickly. Yeah, the world's changing, and I'm so happy I read your book because it's so full of joy. It's as far as possible, it's very British with some British humor in German, which sometimes doesn't work. But and I loved reading your book, and I can't wait for your next book about Spain.
I'm loving writing Spain. I'm off to northern Spain and the Picos on Sunday, actually. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's so great. Such a great country to travel in by van. And it seems to be getting better, actually. I traveled there a lot in 2012, so 10 years ago, in a Type 2 with my kids when they were tiny. And it was quite difficult because there weren't places to stay. And, you know, we didn't have a loo, you know, or a shower in the van because it was a tiny van. Have you been to San Vicente de la Barquera, which is at Playa de Morón?
You know, I've paddled the whole coast.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah, stand-up paddled the whole coast from the French border in Onday all the way to the Spanish Cup.
Really?
The Camino del Norte, but I did it on the water.
No way, that's amazing.
It was quite tiring too.
Because that coast must be really quite difficult to paddle.
Super difficult.
Yeah.
Huge waves, bad winds. Sometimes you just couldn't get ashore because the waves would have killed you. So you have to keep on paddling, although you're exhausted, to the next harbor. And the next harbor is like 3 or 4 hours away. And oh God, it was very tough, but it was a great experience and a good book.
Oh, well done. That's brilliant. I mean, it's bad enough driving the coast because it's so difficult. Never mind paddling it.
Probably paddling is easier because you just go straight.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to go down these tiny little roads through all the eucalyptus forest.
And you just go straight, and when you have a big bay, you just cut across.
Right, okay, yeah.
Martin, see you in Spain. Thank you very much for your great book. Can't wait for the next book. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Das war von Meilen und Zeilen. Alle 2 Wochen neu, immer freitags. Wenn's euch gefallen hat, abonniert uns, liked uns, empfehlt uns. Oder schreibt uns an podcast@delius-glasing.de. Nur bei uns gibt's echte Abenteuer direkt ins Ohr.